Welcome to the Mama Needs a Moment podcast. We're your hosts, Chrissy
and Cindy,
co-founders of Her Health Collective.
We are two moms obsessed with changing the way moms take care of themselves. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive in.
Dr. Ann Welsh is a mother of four who left her career at Harvard to build a practice supporting women in growing their careers and families. She is a licensed psychologist with a doctorate in counseling psychology, a certified executive coach through the International Federation of Coaching, and a retained certified parental leave coach through the Center for Parental Leave Leadership. Dr. Welsh was a psychologist at Harvard University Health Services and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at the Cambridge Center for Eating Disorders. She is also a peripartum mental health certified through Postpartum Support International. Dr. Welsh has a true passion for helping overwhelmed mothers feel less alone and enjoy their lives more. And I don't know a single mom that wouldn't benefit from learning more about that and hearing a conversation around that. Today, we are talking about how to drop the ball, the key to surviving as a working parent. And we are so excited to have Dr. Ann Welsh here with us today. Welcome to Mama Needs a Moment.
Hi, Ann.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Aside from what we just shared in the intro, who are you? Tell us why you do what you do, what your current struggles as a mom are. You can choose what questions you focus on. The only caveat is that you've got 2 minutes.
All right, 2 minutes and go. I always knew I wanted to be a mom. My mom worked, she was a physician. So I had a doctor mom growing up and she also had four kids. I was number three. And it never really looked very hard. Like I knew she worked clearly, but she didn't indicate that it was necessarily a struggle. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to do that. I'm going to have lots of kids and work and it'll be totally fine. And, you know, as I have all this training, my research as a graduate student was in the transition to motherhood, but I was not a mother at the time. I defended my dissertation about 8 weeks pregnant, which was interesting to say the least. But even all that research background wasn't super great preparation. I really found that transition to motherhood surprised me in good and bad ways, right? It was harder than I thought, but also making sense of the identity shift that came as a working person and moving to working parent was challenging. And it took me years and multiple children to kind of feel like I got my feet back underneath me again in terms of figuring out what I wanted. And I think that was the part of the process that I really like helping folks with now is saying, okay, well, when you have a kid, some things don't change, right? You don't have a lobotomy. You're not an entirely different person, but some things do change and that's okay. You're allowed to shift what you value, what you prioritize. You're allowed to hold on to some things and not others. And that process of kind of figuring it out is kind of magical. And I love working with that, right? And watching people kind of step into this more aligned version of themselves as a parent.
I love what you said about your mom and how you didn't know that it was hard just based on looking at her. And I think there's so many layers to that, right? Because what a commentary on motherhood in our society and how we make it look effortless. And that's how we present it to the world. And also simultaneously, I think it's a really cool thing to think about from a kid's perspective because moms do so much. And so we're so hard on ourselves and we're constantly thinking of all the ways that we're not giving enough to our kids. And yet how many kids are looking there and saying, my mom is effortlessly awesome. You know, like how she's showing up for me. So I think there's kind of two aspects to that really struck me. And I loved that. I also would love to know what your dissertation was on.
Oh, my dissertation was on that particular paper was on body image and the transition to new parenthood, mm-hmm. because my clinical work at the time was really eating disorders focused. That was a huge part of my practice for the first 6-7 years. I do a lot less eating disorder specific work at this point, but I was bringing in kind of what I was doing clinically with adolescents and young adults, and then looking at how this shows up for mothers. And it was really understudied at the time. I mean, I think there's not a ton out there. There is more out there than there used to be. But at the time, you know, this was 20, almost 20 years ago, there was really nothing. So it was really interesting to look at.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds fascinating. I want to read it. Former high school teacher. So anything with adolescence just fascinates me in the psychology of it. And yeah, the impact into motherhood. Very intriguing. I love that.
I'm wondering what it means for me and my kids about them looking at me effortlessly because they both don't want kids right now. So does that mean I'm not making it effortless? I don't know. We'll see if that shifts.
I was going to say, I think there's a lot of time for that to shift. And I will say the downside of that was I remember calling my own mother in tears after. So I have four and I had my third. And I said to her something like, how did you do it? This feels impossible. And she's like, oh, it wasn't that hard. And then my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, wait, mom, that really hurts my feelings. And she fixed it and said, well, because I had help, right? We had a full-time nanny that was with our family for 16 years. And this woman was really instrumental, I think, in my parents being able to function as a two-doctor family and have four kids. And my dad was really involved. So she was able to kind of backpedal and say, well, it wasn't that hard because I actually got all the supports in place, which was something I was not doing for myself when I was, you know, a younger mother, that I wasn't really asking for the help I needed and hiring the help that I needed too.
Right. And the way that society has shifted to think, like Christy had mentioned, that the mom has to be able to pretty much do it all and that to have help, it makes her look weak, which it's so misconstrued.
Again, kind of on a societal level, I'm seeing more people share the fact that they have help. And I wish more people were doing that because I think that's such an important element to the conversation to hear, hey, I'm not doing this alone. It may look like I'm doing this effortlessly, but I have a team, I have support in place. We all need help to make this motherhood shebang what it is, you know? So I think that's really powerful to hear that and to share that.
And also this would be an entirely different episode, but kind of dissecting that a bit and figuring out different socioeconomic backgrounds and how we can still have that support if you don't have that privilege of having a nanny or having those specific supports in place. So that would be a fascinating discussion as well.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, I do a lot of work with working parents, but I also work with moms that are home with their kids or who are taking a career pause, and really helping those moms know, like, you also get help, right? Like, you are also allowed to ask for help and to pay for help and to seek support. Like, it's not only childcare while you're working, right? It's help across the board, full stop, as a mother.
Right. It's different perspectives. And that's one thing Christy and I try to do through her health collective is try to help moms find unconventional ways of taking care of themselves, right? Yeah. Like, not the outward things that society pretty much says is, you know, go get your nails done and go for, you know, just different ideas for that. But yes, that was a great discussion. I really enjoyed that. And I'm going to be able to ask you a fun, quirky surprise question. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to give you the option of selecting between 1 and 30, and I will give you the question that coincides with that number.
All right. I'm going to go with 15, right in the middle.
All right. So here we go. A genie grants you the ability to have infinite amounts of one item. What is it?
Oh.
To our Patreon supporters, thank you. We appreciate you so much. Our goal has always been for moms to know they're not alone in the tough and challenging phases of motherhood. We know Mama Needs a Moment provides this to our listeners.
We are thrilled with the growth of the podcast over the past 2 years. Last year, Spotify shared that Mama Needs a Moment was in the top 30% most followed podcasts, was heard in 9 countries, and had more content than 97% of other creators in the family category.
We have recently launched a Patreon account for Mama Needs a Moment. This is a great way for you to provide additional support to her health collective.
We've set up 3 options for Patreon supporters, each with its very own perks, such as special events, discounts, and bonus content from each and every podcast guest that is available only to our Patreon supporters.
Will you become a Patreon supporter? It would mean the world to us.
I don't know. I'm like going back and forth between time or patience. And I think that's probably related.
Right. That's really good. Ooh, an infinite amount of patience. And then time. Gosh, Chrissy, what would you choose?
I mean, out of those two, I think I'd go with time, because if I had plenty of time, I think I'd be more patient.
Be more patient. Fair, fair point. They come together.
Yeah. So you think that because we are so strained with time and sticking to a schedule, that's what makes us on edge a lot, right? Like lose our cool. I can see
that. Right. Yeah. Right. Like if I had all the time in the world and my kids are a little bit older now, but you know, if my toddler's having a meltdown over what shoes to wear and I've got like just infinite time, then if it takes them an hour, it takes them an hour and it's no big deal.
Absolutely. Often find myself just wringing my hands. There's not enough time to do everything, which is something you are constantly helping women and moms with. Because of your training and the type of services you offer, you do work with a lot of mothers. I'm specifically thinking of the virtual group coaching program that you offer for working mothers, where you help working mothers discover their own way to thrive in career and motherhood at the same time. What would you say through your work with all of these moms are the five most common struggles you hear from working mothers in your office?
Yeah, I would say the first one is feeling overwhelmed, right? Literally what we were just talking about, right? There is not enough time in the day to do all of the things being asked of me. And I constantly feel like it's too much. And relatedly, this feeling of then I'm failing at being a mom, I'm failing at work. I can't do both well. And so it's a disaster on some level. The other things are feeling alone and unsupported, right? I think sometimes as working moms, it can be particularly hard to find that village because you don't, again, the time component, if you don't work in an office environment where there are a lot of other moms, it may be hard to meet other working mothers. And then kind of relatedly, a feeling just being unhappy. Like I thought kids would make me happy, or I really want these kids, but now I'm feeling unhappy and I don't know what to do with that. And also some semblance of like, I miss my pre-baby life, but also I miss my pre-baby self. And whether that was someone that was more confident or someone that was more bold or someone that was more interesting, I miss pieces of that woman.
You literally walked through every single thing I experienced in my early motherhood days. And still, I mean, right? Like it doesn't just go away as our child ages. There's still components of that. And what's interesting is, again, Cindy brought up her health collective and why we founded it. And so many of those same things came up, so many of those same reasons. And really the one about feeling alone and unsupported was a big catalyst to her circle, which is our community for moms. Because you do, even if you are surrounded by people and you're being touched all day by a child, you can still feel really, really alone. And there's something very powerful in being in that village, but it's really hard to find. So thank you for sharing all of those. I'd love to know why you think these struggles are so prevalent.
I think there's a lot of things, but I think it really boils down to kind of cultural expectations, essentially, and then how we translate those to ourselves and our own histories, right? As a society, we expect a lot of mothers. And I would say the more that women are achieving, the more we expect of mothers. And I think that there's a kind of this inverse relationship as, you know, not to get, again, a whole nother podcast, we could talk about gender policy and development and misogyny and all of these things. But I do see that even from, you know, I have a sister who's 10 years older than me. And so it's been an interesting comparison point, like what her motherhood experience was like versus mine. And what was expected of her and what her peers were doing versus what I felt in terms of the pressure and expectations of how much time I'm supposed to spend with my kids and how to spend that time was remarkably different. And I think it's just continuing to increase. And you layer onto that social media, which again, can be a great tool for connection. It's also a great tool for making you feel bad about yourself, right? And maybe we know that, okay, I know when I look at a magazine in the checkout line, I'm like media literate enough to know that's an airbrushed version. But I don't think people always remember that like the Instagram reel is also an airbrushed version of life. And so you're not getting very realistic expectations. And then on top of, I think the other piece is just like, we all care about it so much. I know for me, like that was, I never wanted to be good at something so much in my entire life as I wanted to be a good mom. And it's so tricky to feel like, how can I be an imperfect mom and still good enough for my kids, right? Like it's a really fine line to balance.
Absolutely. I'm just nodding my head constantly because that's the feeling I had too. I just want to be a good mom. And then I keep thinking to myself, but nobody told me about this. And nobody told me about this and how I'm going to struggle. Everybody kind of paints it as this happy, joy experience.
And I would love to know, what advice do you give these mothers that are navigating these issues?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is to set realistic expectations. And by that, I tell almost any mother that I encounter, whether they're my client or not, first of all, you're going to struggle because you're doing something hard. It is hard because it is hard. It is not hard because you are doing it wrong. And Cindy, even to your point, prior to even getting into this work, I had kids young. So I was the first in my circle of friends to have kids. And I had two kids by the time most of my peers were having their first. And with my very close friends, I sat them down, all of them, and said, you're going to hate this in a moment. There's going to be a moment where you are crying. Maybe your husband's crying, the baby's crying. You're going to think, what did I do? And you're going to feel miserable. And then you will feel like the worst parent in the world. And I'm here to tell you that's okay. It's going to be really, really, really hard in a moment, and you're going to get through it. And in the moment, and I said to them, call me, text me, I am here. But also, that doesn't make you a bad parent. And I think that's like the big frame, right? Of, we have all these expectations. These expectations are unrealistic. You're going to struggle. That's how we learn, right? Struggle, challenge leads to change. You know, I tell my kids all the time, mistakes mean you're learning. You're going to screw it up. That's okay. Give yourself permission to learn this really hard new thing.
Oh my gosh. If only everyone had a friend like you that would be just so open and so candid with everything. That's gold, such gold. So I hope that you are patting yourself on the back for being that friend to your group of girls. So that's so valuable. We've had several conversations with our guests on our show about integrating work and motherhood and why the word integration is kind of a more realistic word to use than balance. On your website, you refer to balance within work and motherhood as elusive, which I thought was a great word to use to describe it. Will you please share the biggest myths and misconceptions about quote unquote balance that set working mothers up for failure? And what should we believe instead?
So I think, you know, integration has gotten more and more popular because it is less about separating the two and saying these two things are going to overlap, especially in the world we live in today, right? You don't sign off your laptop at 5 o'clock and never see, you know, you're not leaving it at the office, so to speak. And so I think there is the space where it is integration, but I think balance is still applicable when you think about what balancing really is. And so balance is not some sort of magical state we attain where we have this, you know, work in one side and kids in the other side. If you think about what you do when you are actually balancing, you are constantly making micro movements, right? So I practice yoga. I've been practicing it for a very long time. There are some days where I can show up in my, you know, tree pose and I'm sturdy as a rock and I can, you know, do all sorts of things with balance. And there are days when I am like a hot mess and cannot even get my foot off the ground. And all of that is still balance, right? Even in those sturdy days, I'm still wiggling a little bit, right? My ankle tendons are still pulling back and forth. It's ongoing and it's going to look different. And so balance may mean for a season, and that season could be a day, a week, a month, a year, I'm tipping a little into one or the other. And that's okay. It's just an intentional choice, right? I may be in a season where something big's going on at work and I'm excited about it, or maybe I'm not excited about it, but I got to show up to keep my job or whatever. And my kids are getting a little less attention, or we're eating a lot more takeout, or my house is like a, you know, a bomb went off constantly. I mean, my house is always like that, but that's another story. Right. And that's okay. And then maybe there's a season that I am shifting the other way and it's, I just want to spend more time with my kids, or, you know, my kid is sick, or my kid just is needing extra support, or whatever, we've been eating a lot of takeout. Now I want to shift into getting kind of our food intake back on track, like whatever it can be, that it's going to constantly move. And if we think that we're going to finally hit a point where we feel, quote, balanced, and it will not have to adjust, we're just going to be disappointed, because that's just not how life works, right? Life gets lifey, it throws stuff at you, and you're going to have to adjust.
Okay, so it sounds to me that what you're saying is balance is so hard to find. Like there is no balance, that's not really going to happen, right?
Or that balance is movement and adjusting, right?
Okay.
That balance is these constant micro adjustments. That, if you envision how it feels to balance on one foot, you're not immobile. If you are standing rigidly, you're going to get knocked over actually far more easily.
So the only way that people can grow at their work endeavors and wanting to be present at home is just to understand that there is going to be micro movements. There is going to be some wobbliness to things,
right,
and give yourself grace and compassion through all of it.
Exactly. It's going to be messy, and that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to throw out and highlight the statement, because life gets lifey. And I think I love that. I wrote it down because I just want to remember that, because there are times where you're like, what is attacking me? Why is this happening? And you know, there's just something powerful about the phrase life gets lifey. This is just life being lifey. I really liked that.
That's awesome. I do. I really like that statement as well.
So that was such a great episode.
Yes, that was a really great chat with Anne. I have a whole page of notes that I took away, and I was just curious of what you took away from that conversation that really sat with you.
Yeah, I think it was a really powerful conversation. Obviously, you know, when she talks about the five most common struggles, I identified with everything she listed there. But I really loved how in talking about those five struggles, she says to set realistic expectations and to acknowledge that you are going to struggle. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It just means that this is hard. And gosh, that resonated. You know, like I personally get wrapped up all the time, not just in motherhood, in work and in business and in friendships and in marriage and in all of these things, like I'm doing something wrong and I'm not enough in some way, or, you know, I'm doing it wrong. And there's so much power in just acknowledging, hey, you're not doing anything wrong. This is hard. The point of life is navigating all this and figuring it all out. And this is hard. So I loved that part of the conversation. And I also really loved her conversation around balance. So we have had many experts and we've had this debate about this idea of balance versus integration, and perhaps it's just semantics and we're just getting into the nitty gritty about using a different word. But I loved her analogy around balance not being some magical state that we obtain. And I think that's how we've used the word previously. You know, it's this idea of balance. I'm perfectly in balance. It's equal between work and motherhood, and I'm balanced. But you're right. If you've ever put anything on a scale, it's this work, it's this taking away, it's this, if you can't see me, obviously you're listening. I'm holding up two hands and I'm like, yeah, shifting back and forth. But that's what you do on a scale, right? It balances back and forth. And I loved her discussion around this idea of micro movements. We're constantly adjusting. We're constantly testing different things. And maybe we're putting a little bit more into the home life, or maybe we're putting a little more into the work life and adjusting, taking something from home life and putting it into work life for right now, because it's needed to get to that point of balance. So I thought that was a really, really powerful part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
How about you?
Well, I loved all that you said. Was really good. And actually, it started way back in the beginning when we asked the question that a genie grants her a wish or the ability to have infinite amounts of something. And when she said patience and time, and then we kind of dissected that a little bit more. And to me is kind of like a formula. It's like, you're overwhelmed due to time, which therefore equals you feel like there's too much going on, which therefore equals feeling like you're failing and feeling like you have enough, which then makes us at the tipping point, makes our fuse burn really low, makes us boil over. I loved that piece of it. That was one of the first things that I started to write down and thinking of it in that way, as it one leading into the next and leading into the next. The other thing, it's just a different way of looking at it, but we often hear seeing the highlight reels of things, and her analogy was airbrushed version of life that felt so real. I never connected it like that, of thinking about, well, things are photoshopped in pictures, they're airbrushed. And when you look in magazines, that's what's staring back at you. Well, that's the same thing with social media and everything that's around mm-hmm. us. You can get an airbrushed version of life in that regard as well, which therefore causes us to struggle because we get into the
right. And I think that an added part, and I thought this earlier when we were talking with Anne and didn't mention it at the time, but I think an added struggle with that is that we're seeing this airbrushed version of someone that we personally know in many cases on social media. And there's this added layer of, I think, comparison. Like, we know not to compare ourselves to Beyonce or Jennifer Lopez because they're Beyonce and Jennifer Lopez. But, you know, when you're looking at the life of a friend you went to high school with, or someone, you know, a mom down the street, the comparison is a bit stronger there. Mm. And that airbrushed reel or airbrushed photo hits a little differently. So I think that that's important to remember too.
Yes. And in line with your statement about micro movements, it stuck with me where she said work and motherhood overlap, and how she used the analogy of doing yoga and the you're still wobbly holding certain poses, and some days are going to be different than other days. Oh, and go ahead and say your most favorite line of the entire.
Oh, life gets lifey.
Yes,
I'm when telling life gets you, Mama. You are going to hear me start saying that, because life gets lifey, baby.
Yes, absolutely. And the question to leave you all with is, and that she had stressed, is what do you want? What do you want? Stopping and pausing. And those might be micro decisions, micro things to try to get yourself to learn how to get to that point again with yourself, but that you'll get there.
Yeah. Such an important and powerful episode with Anne. I absolutely loved her. She was such a joy to speak to. So don't miss part two of this fantastic conversation. In part two, we dive into a discussion around values, both in parenting and work, why they're important, how do we figure out what our values are. And then we also take a look at Anne's secret gift of parenting and how it can actually be the most fertile ground for professional development. So it's a very interesting conversation that you won't want to miss. So make sure you listen to part two, which will come out next week. We've enjoyed hanging out with you today, friend. We hope you got to finally enjoy a hot cup of coffee as you listened. Make sure you follow us so you're the first to know when we drop a new episode.
If you've enjoyed your time with us, let us know by leaving a review. We always love hearing from you. Until next time, stay true to you.